see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn, they got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to Watching for Jesus Bible Study this afternoon. Family, welcome. 1 hour to impart to you quite a bit of information tonight. I want to talk about, I know I get ambitious before I get started, but I want to talk tonight about a little bit about the coming UFO deception. It's going to hit this country like a tsunami covering the entire planet, actually. It is massive. What's going to happen? When? I don't know when. When it does, you'll know it. It's going to turn religion as you know it upside down. Lives will change massively. Stock market will crash completely when this disclosure happens. And when it happens, it's all in God's hands. It's when he allows it to happen. Why would he allow this to happen? When we've turned away from him completely. When the laws have been changed to go against the Bible, he's going to put judgment on that nation. You see, the coronation oath that the King and Queen of England takes is based on biblical principles. Of course, they're never planning to follow it up anyway, but at least the laws of the land, the laws of the land reflect the, should reflect the conduct of the leaders. Romans 13, but the leaders do not follow it, that's judgment upon them. When the people start turning away from God and they start changing the laws, just like Israel did, when the people turn away, then God just steps out of the way. We turn away from him, what do you expect him to do? The punishment is not pulling away for vengeance. He's pulling away because he loves you. Because then it brings conviction. And the conviction is what's supposed to wake you up. and then bring you back to him. You see how it works? He can't reward our sinful nature. But because of love, he pulls away. He's already taken the punishment, which is eternal death. It's death. Eternally. It means separation from God. When Jesus said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? That's when God turned away from his son for that period of time to fulfill the prophecy, to fulfill the requirement. But Jesus was different. Died on the cross, but he came back to life. Unlike what Copeland, Price, Brazier, T.D. Jakes, Joyce Myers, these others say, Jesus Christ did not become born again. Jesus Christ was not punished in hell, like Joyce Myers and Copeland says, and the others, and TBN, Word Faith Heresy. That's what they say. And they're still preaching. They still have people listening to them. I don't understand that. Anyway, when Jesus said it is finished on the cross, that's exactly what it meant. It finished on the cross. Now, it talks about, in Matthew, about a great deception coming. I'm going to talk about that tonight a little bit. And the thousand-year reign. I'm going to begin speaking about that toward the around the 30 minutes, last 30 minutes, and then the next part tomorrow and probably on Friday, about the thousand-year millennium reign, which is to come. It's not happened yet. Now, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then we're going to start talking about various issues, about UFOs, because, family, that's what's going to happen. Nobody's talking about it. Very few people are talking about it in the churches. Your Sunday morning churches that you go to traditionally aren't touching it with a 10-foot pole. And it's what's going to destroy them. It's what's going to really take people away from God because they're not preparing. This is so massive, what I'm telling you. You try to bring it up to them, preachers that you know. Some of them know what I'm talking about because I've brought it up to them before. But they say, well, Tom, I can't talk about that. And I said, why? Because these are country people. They just won't understand that. They won't understand it. And there's some point to be made about that because of the core belief that's been established and the way we've been brought up by the Humanist Manifesto in our own schools and colleges and so forth, on TV and so forth and so on. This is a concept that they can't even imagine. It had to be a massive effort in each church to open up this change of core belief. Well, that's not going to happen because most of the churches are 501c3 controlled by the government. A tax-exempt status controls your church, tells them what they'll preach, what Bible they're going to use, and it's not the King James, they tell them. Don't you be using King James, they say, because that is the true word of God. The rest of them are fabricated. NIV, New American Standard, all of them, everyone. ESV, Jerusalem Bible, all of them. They're missing something, or they have words changed, or missing verses, all sorts of problems. King James is perfect word of God, Cambridge edition. Okay, let's dedicate the broadcast, and then let's get started on tonight's Bible study. Lord, tonight we come together. We thank you, Father, for bringing us together at this Bible study. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have. We thank you for this network, Lord, that you've provided for us, Lord, by these means. And Lord, we pray for our brethren tonight. We pray for Virginia again, Lord, that you'll heal her body. Lord, we pray for all those we prayed for in the past. Lord, to bring the families together for healing of those we prayed for, Lord, to lift them up to you again. For those seeking to be covered by the blood of Jesus, that Lord, they would be protected, and to bring their siblings back in, to bring their husbands or wives back in. That Lord, you'll soften the hearts, accept divine appointments. That Lord, they'll meet up with more than one or two, or three that's going to confirm. And Lord, that confirmation will bring them to their knees in front of you, Father, to accept your Son as your Savior. Lord, we pray for an awakening in this country. Lord, we pray that you'll send those warring angels down. And Lord, protect us with the blood of Jesus. And to strip away the protection of the Wicca. Strip away the protection of the Illuminati. And of the fallen angels that's taken on these disguises. That Lord, that you'll strip them down of their protection. And expose them. So Father, we'll know to pray for and against. Lord, to guide us along, to give us divine appointments, to witness to others. Protect those that's being targeted by this technology. Father, protect those that's being abducted for these sacrifices that's coming up in this month for the Wicca. Lord, we know that occult holiday is the 21st and 22nd. That, Lord, that you'll protect those that period of time that they're being used for these sacrificial lambs, for these Wicca at the highest level. Father, we pray for spreading your holy word. And Father, to give the courage to the watchmen that they're going to come out, Lord, and start spreading the news and preaching the word. All these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, the 90%, I'm guessing, but that gives you an idea of what I believe to be the numbers in the United States. They have no idea that the Jesus that they think is a photograph and a picture on a portrait of the Jesus holding the lamb and blonde-haired, blue-eyed is the Jesus of Nazareth, and it's not. The Jesus of Nazareth looks different. How does he look? Don't know. Nobody knows. That's the point. He would have short hair. He'd look like he's from the Middle East. There's a little bit of what they talk about, but what the actual physical description, he wasn't like a handsome individual. Bronze skin, but the description, more physical, is given after the millennial reign, or the millennial reign. His supernatural body is what's described mostly. Hair like wool and so forth. That's after. The family doesn't matter what it looks like. Whether it's white, whether it's black, whether it's bronze skin, Indian, who cares? What's they got to do anything? Apparently everybody has movements that say, well, he's mine. No, he's mine. He's white. No, he's black. No, he's Indian. No, he's this, he's that. Well, I got news for you. He's from the Middle East. And from the Middle East, who settled there? Shem did. Who went north? Japheth went north. Who went south? Ham did. The table of nations was set. The structures of the earth after 10 generations plus then started filling out the different races because of the electromagnetic forces on this planet over a period of time affected the DNA. They've proven it already that language and words affect DNA. All these studies are coming out now that's confirming what we've been saying a long time. Well, family, a great deception is coming. Jesus will look Middle Easterner. Shem settled in the Middle East. Who looks like Middle Easterners? Mexicans and Indians. We call them Mexican because they're from Mexico. Didn't exist back in those days. And Indians because they're Indians because of Columbus, who was an avatar and a real lowlife. He was. Sorry, but he was. I know the history books say otherwise, but he wasn't a courageous explorer. He knew exactly where he's going. He is part of the Illuminati. He was an avatar of the fallen angels. He was demonic. He was a Satanist. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. And he was there to set up the first phase, one of the phases of the New Atlantis in the North American continent. So they called them Indians. But what are they really? Offspring of Shem. Middle Easterner. Yeah. And guess who's in the bloodline of Shem in the Middle East? That'd be Jesus. Yeah, smoke on that for a while. So, what they're going to come as, and what people's not talking about anywhere, is this UFO thing. UFOs. Aliens. We have seen thousands and thousands of movies, men detailing about, you know, E.T. go home. For how long? All the way back to Metropolis and in the silent films. Transhumanism goes back to silent films, Metropolis. I used to call it Metropolis. But anyway, aliens and UFOs. I know there's some churches, some evangelists, very few, they're talking about Sanand Emanuel, about the fallen angels, aliens, ascended masters, etc. Very, very, very few. The one called Sanand Emanuel, the fallen angel, the real false prophet of the Bible in the book of Revelation, that's going to be thrown in the lake of fire, is Sanand Emanuel. And you know what he looks like? Who he is? His portrait you see every day as one we think is Jesus. The real Jesus of Nazareth. Nobody knows what he looks like. But what's been integrated, here's where this fits. What's been integrated is this photograph of Sanand Emanuel. It's been put before our faces. This is day one of our lives. So we've assumed that's what Jesus looks like. Where'd that come from? It came from Leonardo da Vinci, primarily because of the Last Supper. And during that period of time, Michelangelo and so forth. And guess what? Look it up on your own. But Michelangelo was linked up with the Medicis, the Italian Illuminati. That'll be a clue. And Leonardo da Vinci, same thing. He was an avatar, and I have it documented in Illuminati's own textbook about Leonardo da Vinci. So now, where do they get their talent from? Avatars. The talent comes from outside of their own abilities. That's where it comes from. So you got an idea that where that drawing really came from. That's not the real Jesus. It's the one called Sanand Emanuel. So can you imagine what's going to happen when he appears as this alien nonsense? You're going to have a falling away like this world's never seen before. Right up close and personal. And what are we going to do? Fall in line with it? It's going to get real touchy. Very touchy, family. Because these preachers won't even know this. So this is massive, what I'm telling you. And I don't know, man, how that's going to work. Because if you fall in line with it, you'll be convicted in your heart that this isn't the right one. Then you'll be convicted to announce it. So, all I can tell you is be ready. In the Bible, even in the Quran, it talks about supernatural beings. In the Quran itself, it talks about what they call jinn, J-I-N-N. The King James Bible talks about sons of God. Everybody's got a mention somewhere. Even on the Indian plains, before the 1400s, it talks about skinwalkers. Hybrids of the fallen angels and man. Supernatural beings. In the Bible, it talks about the sons of God. But only in the New Testament does it really apply to those that took Jesus as Savior. But in the Old Testament, they were the sons of God, but a different inclination, a different breed. They were the fallen angels called the sons of God. But not in the New Testament. New Testament is those that took Jesus as Savior. Massive difference. Apples and oranges. Apples and watermelons. The sons of God in the Bible, in the Old Testament, were the actual fallen angels from that war in the heavens that took place before the earth was created. Satan, Lucifer, and rebelling angels who followed him were cast out of heaven just before the universe was created, the physical universe. The first group of fallen angels were placed in chains when they left the first estate, came on the earth in physical form, because the evil that pervaded on the planet was enough energy, enough force that they could absorb it. This is alchemy. I can't explain the details right now. Not enough time. But they somehow funnel the energy from sacrifices. That's what the baby sacrifice is about. What's abortion about? What war is about? Where death resides. They absorb that energy. It's souls being released, not of God. They absorb that force. It's real. And by doing that, enough of it allows them to manifest physically themselves. That's the simplified version of it. Witchcraft. Manifestation. So, how significant is it? Well, they have set up the New Age movement with Helena Blavatsky and Alice Bailey. Directed them. They directed and led Ellen G. White. They attended to Muhammad the Prophet when he had a heart issue problem. They're supernatural beings, but they're not good ones at all. Not good. They pretend to be good. They look like they are. Then you got the evil ones that are to be evil. And the good ones, it's like the good witch and the bad witch thing going on. But notice the word, witch. There's no good witch, no bad witch. They're both witches, and they're both bad because God don't support witchcraft. Tarot cards, seances, Ouija boards, all these things. It just is, that's the way it is. By messing with those things, you open up portals to your body, allowing possession or demonization to manifest itself in all kinds of different ways. Those rebelling angels kicked out of heaven, a third of them, along with Lucifer and Satan, they were placed in the second heaven, which is the physical universe, because they're spirit beings. God created the universe, the physical universe, the planets, the suns, the stars, and all that, placed them in this realm, and then he made the earth last, because all the planets, stars and suns, constellations, are specifically to service the earth, and life on it alone. Job 38:1-7. Even the Bible talks about the constellations that service the earth. The sons of God took the daughters of men, that was the offspring of Adam and Eve throughout the Old Testament, created the giants, massive creatures, hybrids, half angels, half human, and some half animals. Manipulation of DNA at its worst case. So the sons of God, the fallen angels, took on different identities and bodies throughout the generation of man. Saint Germain, you'll find in the 18th century, he is also in the 21st century, still operating in different bodies. No, it's not TV and it's not a video game. It's for real. They control Bilderberg groups, Club of Rome, the Council of Foreign Relations, the UN, and the Popery, and the Vatican. They all believe, and they worship, and they are servants, slaves of these fallen angels. From the Queen Elizabeth, to the Pope, to your Council of Foreign Relations, that's how high it goes. These were also the mythological gods of Greece and Egypt, but they had to hide their actual identity with being mythological gods afterwards to put it in fictional form. They could only manifest through human sacrifice and alchemy, knowledge of the elements and biology, the knowledge of, you ever heard this before? Knowledge of good and evil. That's why God did not want us to eat of that apple. Why he wanted our parents, if you want to, the first parents, Adam and Eve, of mankind, to touch it, but he had to give them that choice. The choice of being obedient to him, or the desire to be like gods. That's the choice they had. Well, they disobeyed him. Now you know what happened. Witchcraft is nothing more than manipulation of the physical environment as learned and over trial and error by Satan and his fallen angels, having man to carry out his plans for a new world order. That's what it's all about. And getting revenge. Revenge back of God for destroying their children, which were giant abominations. It's called the flood. All the above. So the generations of man progressed to hide the true identity in the 18th century. They came in as angels in physical bodies, as they did in the days of Noah and did after Nimrod, but only to a few that would guide the generations of man, but with evil intent, with the knowledge that they had gained. So after Elena Blavatsky and Alice Bailey came up with a 10-point plan. I'm not going to go over it tonight, but that plan, the plan, and it's more extended actually, is what our Council of Foreign Relations, our government, the Popery, will follow. That's how important she was. Before her was Adam Weishaupt in the 17th, 18th century. But these fallen angels, sons of God, also now call themselves ascended masters. Humans before, in their own planet, that had evolved into godlike creatures, and now they're here on earth to help mankind evolve into like they are. That's the hook. The crook is, they're demons and they're going to hell. The rub is, those who follow them will end up in hell also. And that's every leader that's dedicated his life to Lucifer, Bohemian Grove, Club of Rome, United Nations at the highest level. And you understand that, how that works. Every military base nowadays has a Wicca. That's generals, admirals, colonels. They're the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. Your secret society members are nothing more than their servants. After Blavatsky and Alice Bailey, they call themselves ascended masters. Well, for atheists, they're called aliens. But they're the same evil fallen angels in the Old Testament, back called the sons of God. Do you see how it works? The one ascended master named Sananda Emmanuel, he's the Jesus we think is Jesus of Nazareth. The pictures and all that. He is not the real Jesus. That's going to be the falling away. The falling away has been set up already. He's a fallen angel. So the real Jesus, no one knows what he is. But Jesus of Nazareth, the real Jesus, the real only begotten Son of God that ascended to the Master, ascended to God, excuse me, sitting on the right hand, is returning after the 7 years of tribulations. But before the ascended masters, these fallen angels, the sons of God of the Old Testament, the great white brotherhood, the hierarchy, the community, as they're called, before they deceive mankind as to their true identity, they'll create the falling away, and the Antichrist will be among them. He will be in the union of Sananda Emmanuel, the false Jesus, and some woman that they acquired that they named Mary, that the Knights Templar has been protecting ever since, that they actually believe is Jesus Christ. However, where you trace it to France, by the way, where the Knights Templar came into being, they actually believe they're protecting the royal bloodline. They're not. The Knights Templar, Irish, to be exact, they're the ones controlling the finances, not the Jews. The King James Bible describes their end with 100% accuracy. If you Google the Ascended Masters, that link with Helena Blavatsky, New Age Movement, Teilhard de Chardin, a Jesuit priest, you'll find the connection there. The priesthood controls the governments today. After the Battle of Armageddon, after the 7 years, Jesus Christ, the real one, will plant his feet on the Mount of Olives. I don't know how that's going to look. I don't know what's going to happen except that, and that he reigns for 1,000 years after, called the millennium reign. Today, the churches are not preparing people for this to happen from the very first step. Everybody just goes to church on Sunday. Some nod in agreement. Some nod because they're falling asleep. They do their good deeds. They have their little bakeries. They do food for the poor. That's all good and great. They're doing all these nice things and handing out tracts. That's a good thing. Some of them don't even do that. They just sit, go to church, put money in the plate, just like robots, and they leave and go to a buffet or play golf or sleep or watch TV or whatever on a Sunday. When they announce disclosure, after this next chaotic incident, their lives are going to change. They're not going to understand it. And when they say that we are in touch with aliens, the Pope comes on, or Obama comes on, whoever the president is, or a military coup takes place, something like that, they got all kinds of things planned. When that happens, religion, as you know, will fail. A lot of disillusioned Christians will wonder what in the world is going on. King James Bible will no longer be the Word of God. The Book of Enoch, I know. Enoch, the Book of Enoch, which is Gnostic and full of a bunch of baloney. And the Book of Urantia will become the priorities. After all, these are aliens, right? No. But the churches are not preparing their congregations for this to happen. People are supposed to turn when they... Where are they going to turn when they can't discuss the strange lights in the sky, the voices in the head, the missing time, the strange dreams, the feelings they have that's caused by technology, supernatural influence that's being synthesized by technology? They can make synthetic demonic influence. I talked about that earlier today and yesterday. I'll finish it up probably tomorrow in the broadcast. Startling fact is that over 90% of the people surveyed and more than one time say that their pastors will not touch the subject about UFOs and fallen angels and ascended masters and all that. They just pass right over these scripture about the sons of God. Won't even touch it. If you apply that number in a real life situation, it means 9 out of 10 pastors are ignoring the spiritual and real needs of their people and their flock. Pastors are leaders, supposed to be. 100% of the blame is not on them, though. Many churchgoers that either fail to bring up the subject or simply don't know how or don't even know to. Some of the pastors don't know how to present the information to the congregation or afraid to, and the Freemasons keep them down. They say, well, don't be talking about that, Pastor. That's exactly, I've been told this before. This is not something I'm making up. I imagine after a while being a pastor and all of a sudden you got to bring it up, that would be real sticky. Because almost like calling yourself a liar. Depends what you've been saying all along. You got old-timey folks out there. Oh, good luck on that one. This is not something they've heard before. The subject of UFOs and alien abduction is directly related to biblical events in the past. But these are demons. They're not aliens. They're not ascended masters. These are demonic with physical bodies. They can also inhabit a human body. It's directed, related to future biblical prophecy. There is an adversary known as Satan. It's Lucifer who fell. Both are the same. However, he's had many falling angels and demons at his disposal that work up the control in the world in 7 areas I've mentioned before. And their goal is mass deception of mankind. But you know, if you want to stop a tree from growing, you don't start cutting at the top and go down. You destroy the root of it so that it cannot grow. The root of this UFO deception starts at Genesis 6, and they don't explain who the sons of God are. Or they tell you the Sethites theory, which says that the sons of God were really the sons of Seth. Well, that's impossible. Because the sons of God existed before the creation of the earth. Some of the pastors that call the Sethite theory kind of leave that out. Now, I'll talk a little bit more about this a little bit later tomorrow about this fallen angel. I want to jump into the millennium reign right now. If that's okay with you. And the millennium reign, I'm going to do part 1. And then millennium reign, when it starts at the end of Armageddon, these fallen angels I'm talking about, these sons of God, these so-called aliens, will no longer exist in the matter of on the earth. They will be in hell. They'll be in the lake of fire, which was created for them in the first place. So now I just gave you the kind of the summary of these fallen angels. But what is this millennial reign that they will not be there at? They won't be there for the millennial kingdom. They think they can stop God at his own game. You know, after the last bold judgment is thrown by God, the Father to the earth, the battle of Armageddon ensues, and then Jesus comes back to put a final end to it all for 1,000 years. He will reign. There will be no influence of Satan. Have you ever thought about it? All that's going to happen? There'll be no technology. Be like back in the days of the Stone Age. Can you imagine that? You won't have a cell phone. Trust me. You won't have George Jetson flying machines out there. You won't have technology because the earthquake and the sixth seal have taken that down already. Not counting the what God's going to do to the earth. The one named Sanan Emanuel will say there are no tribulations coming. It's just a misinterpretation of the Bible. And that y'all, there's no such thing as sin. Do as thou wilt is the whole of the law. The evil will be removed. What they're talking about, the evil, is they'll remove the bad guys they put here in the first place. That's the tricky part. There'll be peace and harmony. That's called the first seal. The second seal is when everybody says, oh, it's wonderful, and the second seal is when all that wonderful ends in the World War III. A form of Gog and Magog. But the real Gog and Magog, the second one, is at the end of the thousand-year reign of God, of Jesus Christ. Armageddon's in between. So the Third World War and the Second Seal is a form of Gog and Magog, a different form, that I'm going to do a study on that and present it. And then the real, then Gog and Magog, which is a partial Gog and Magog, and the Second Seal, World War III, the real one. And then that leads to Armageddon, the end of the 7 years tribulation. And then Jesus Christ comes as Armageddon ends. He comes for the thousand-year reign, what I'm talking about right now. At the end of the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ, then Satan is released for a short season to tempt the nations once again, to give them, during that 1,000 years of reproduction and living and judging and all this, without him, he'll be able to tempt those that didn't know him before. And apparently some slip over, because they have then the battle of Gog and Magog, the one mentioned in the Bible. That's the last one, and they lose again. Then Satan's thrown in the lake of fire. Then eternity begins with a new heaven and a new earth. Okay. Now, when he returns to earth at Armageddon, he's going to be setting up a 1,000-year millennial kingdom. He'll literally rule this entire earth from the city of Jerusalem, not the United States. So the Bible says that this period will be a time of perfect peace. Jesus will rule the entire earth from that city. And he alone will be the only official ruler of the king of this earth. Men will no longer war with one another, and even the wild beasts like tigers and lions and bears, oh my, will be tame. You wonder how that can be. I've not explained before about the frequency vibrations of the earth. The certain frequencies affect you. Now, my regular listeners, you should be all hands at this. Remember I said that the earth resonance is 7.83. When they hit you with 11 hertz of energy from ELF transmission, synthesized demonic activity through the ELF transmission of technology, it causes riotous behavior. As I explained yesterday. And today. If they hit you, or the individual, or the group, or the whoever they are, with 6.6 hertz, which is 2 hertz less, it causes the body, the mind, the soul, to be depressed. Now you add the voice to the skull, you got synthesized God there. A big lie, but synthetic. You have demonic presence. It's natural. And you have demonic presence that's synthesized with technology. So, God, coming down as Jesus Christ, would change the frequency of that period of time to where people would not be, he would change frequency of vibration. He can do that by his will. To where it affects the psyche of both animals and humans. It's physics, it's chemistry, it's biology. And those saints that's been taken up in the rapture, no matter when it is, we're not going there with that tonight, that's been living with Jesus in heaven will be coming down with him to help him rule the nations of this world. Benevolently, fairly, lovingly. Jesus will be the only God people will worship and serve. All other false religions will have been completely eliminated. And people will live long lives, possibly up to 1,000 years, like they did before the flood of Noah. What happened once, he can do it again. And he will. Some people think that Jesus will not literally rule the earth from the city of Jerusalem. They think he's going to be ruling from heaven as now. Some people say today he's ruling, and we're already in 1,000 years. Really? You call this peace? You've got to be kidding me, man. You all sniff, whoever says that, sniffing too many much glue or eating too many mushrooms. Needless to say, we're not in peace. So, without any other possible interpretation, Jesus will literally be ruling the entire earth from the city of Jerusalem. Not from heaven, where he's at right now. If you go to Psalms 2, verse 4 and 9, Psalms 2, verse 4 to 9. Oops, wasn't ready for it. Oh, sorry. Psalms 2 is coming up here. Oh, Psalms 2, verse 4 to 9. Where is Psalms? There it is. It says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, the day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. O ye kings, be wise now. Therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Fear is love and respect, is what it means here then. When you go to the next verse, it says that God the Father will be given Jesus the throne of King David, which is from Jerusalem, and that his kingdom will last forever. That's who he's talking about. We're not talking about Solomon or Nathan or any of those. We're talking about Jesus Christ, son of David through Mary. That's why I call the Son of God, Son of Man. Because the Son of God is supernatural. Son of man was why he was born in a usual way. In other words, Adam was created fully adult. I can only imagine that Adam and Eve did not have any belly buttons. Had no need for it. They were created perfect at the very beginning, till they sinned. So Jesus had a belly button. So Jesus was born in the usual way, with an umbilical cord. You see? In Luke 1, 32 to 33, Luke 1, what did I say? Yeah, 32, 33. Whoops, here we go. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Luke 1:32. That sometimes causes people some confusion. And the naysayers and the shills and the anti-King James folks that say, oh, I love the Lord, but you know the King James has got its problems. But Lord, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. He's my favorite one, but King James is not accurate. What are they talking about? They're lying to you is what they're doing. It's tricky. In 1:32, the important truth there is the real humanity of the Messiah, you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. His deity and his mission as Savior shall call his name Jesus, meaning Jehovah is the Savior. Jehovah, not Yahweh. Let me say it again. Not Yahweh, but Jehovah. That's what Jesus means. His essential greatness is he will be great, both as his person and his work. His identity as the Son of God, he'll be called the Son of the Most Highest, of the Highest. His title to the throne of David. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. That establishes him as the Messiah. His everlasting and universal kingdom. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, verses 31 and 32, first part of 32, refer to Jesus Christ's first advent. Whereas verses 32, part of it, and the other 33, describes his second coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Son of David, because normally king comes from successor comes from the father, and so the next human father would be David, who is King David, to show in the Bible that he is a successor. So when you look at the next verse that we're going to talk about, tells us that the kingdom will never be destroyed and that it will be left to humans, not be left to humans, to try and manage it. So humans have nothing but a mess of things right now over the entire course of human history. And yet we say we're going to take back our country, we're going to take back the world from Illuminati, really. And who are you going to put in charge? Nobody ever says. And the secret societies control it. Jerry Boykin, Rick Joyner, you see how it works? These are all secret society members working against you, wanting to declare a military coup of the U.S. government or whatever, or world dictatorship to be benevolent. How does that work? You know, they never tell you who that is. Notice that. Because they don't have anybody. That's why. God will no longer be putting up with us trying to run the world and influenced by Satan for ages. So that verse that we're talking about here tells us that Jesus' kingdom will now consume all the other earthly kingdoms of this earth and break them into pieces. Daniel 2, verse 44, for example. In Daniel 2:44, And in the days of these kings shall be God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all those kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So when you go to the next verse, it tells us that all the people, nations, and languages will serve Jesus. So it'll only be Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. He'll be our earthly king. It's not about presidents or prime ministers or all that. No. Those are a dime a dozen anyway. The real earth, the real structure of this world is kings and queens. Right now, your kings and queens are same bloodline worldwide, Merovingian bloodline. Satan's bloodline, not necessarily by DNA, but by following him. Every single one of them. Jesus is the only one that's going to come down benevolent. No others. And following him are the saints. They were taken up. We'll rule with him. In other words, his brain is own. There's going to be complete turnover of personnel. It's going to be a hostile takeover and replacement. Everybody else is fired, given their blue note, their blue card or whatever, termination letter, and they're moved out, replaced, complete takeover. No incumbents. So in Daniel 7:13-14, this next verse tells us that all the peoples, nations, and languages will serve Jesus. And won't no longer be English, it'll be the old Hebrew. The old Hebrew, not the Yiddish, Middish shit they're talking over in Israel today. That's a perverted version of Hebrew. A complete takeover, including the languages. Daniel 7:13-14 tells you right there. It says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So that verse tells us what he's going to do. Leads us into the millennium. Now one more verse, the next one, tells that the earthly kingdom will be on Jesus' shoulder. That we're going to have a peace on earth that will have no end. And this verse also reaffirms that Jesus will be upon the throne of David. He will rule with a justice and righteousness from his own throne, physically, in Jerusalem. He'll be called the real Prince of Peace, not the fake one that's coming now. But then, after Armageddon, he'll be the real Prince of Peace. And will literally have heaven on earth here on earth, with Jesus in complete control of everything. Isaiah 9:6-7. You'll find it there. Isaiah 9:6-7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. The Mighty God is his name. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6 tells you that Jesus is God. Clear as a bell. Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, again. And upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever, The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. But a great deception is coming. And that you need to be prepared for. We'll talk about that tomorrow night. And there'll be another part to this. We'll talk about millennium reign till Friday, probably. I see that happening because I got quite a bit on the millennial kingdom, a lot. So folks wanted to hear about it, and I said, well, I'll do some research on it and collect it, and we'll talk about it. And that we shall do. So, family, we've come to the end. Almost, 1 hour just goes by this zip. I'm used to about 3 hours, but 1 hour, we put it all there, and then you do whatever you like to with it. I do have it recorded. I can't say taped. That'd show you my age. Anyway. All right, family. So I gave enough to chew on there, and I added together who the ascended masters are. The fake Jesus is coming, and the real Jesus that's going to end up in the millennial kingdom. Hasn't happened yet. When it does, the first day, it won't stop. Right now is practice. When this kicks off, family, it's going to be racing one day after the next. One thing after the next. Y'all be ready. Because people are going to be looking for answers massively. Right now, they're not. They're trying to solve it themselves. They're setting up militia. They're setting up Rambo. They're going out there. They're going to do a military coup, and they're going to do this and do that and take back our nation, bring out this and go arrest this one and go arrest that one. Once they get through with all that playing around, they're going to realize what they're really up against. But until then, y'all stay to the end. You stay strong. Stay in the Word. Because when the Nephilim come out, if you're still here, I don't know how that's going to work, but you're going to go up against supernatural beings, and it'll be the Word of God. It'll be Jesus fighting for you, but through you. Lord, we thank you tonight that we come together in this Bible study. Father, you dwell in us, the Holy Spirit, to cover us with wisdom and discernment about these end times events. Lord, protect our families. Father, make it to where our word can spread out. Show us the way of spiritual warfare. And Lord, give us the opportunity to witness to others. And Father, to confirm each other. The Father will be convicted if we sin to fall away to bring us back in the fold, Lord. We pray again for healing of those we've prayed for, Lord, that you'll visit miracles down to heal the bodies, heal the families, bring them together. Because right now, Lord, we need the watchman to come out to spread the word and the gospel. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, family, so I'm going to conclude tonight. And all I can tell you right now is start studying, start researching, start setting up your preparations in your heart and your soul. Get closer to God. And know that he's still alive and he's coming back. But there's going to be a lot of deception between now and then. So y'all hang in there. Look to the future. God bless and good night. And we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And also remind you that we're played up in highpointradio.net. HighPointRadio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, John Kirkler, at highportradio.net, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Also visit my website, watchfulforjesus.com, and my Facebook is Watchful for Jesus. So have a good night. God bless y'all. And we'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Signing off. This is your Watchman. See y'all tomorrow.
Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.